After 2 weeks of protest, militarized police response, and street violence in Ferguson, Missouri, the body of Michael Brown, the unarmed 18-year-old African-American shot to death by a white police officer, was laid to rest after an emotional funeral ceremony attended by thousands. Among those speaking at the funeral were civil rights leader Reverend Al Sharpton and family members who called for justice in the case, expressing the desire by many in Ferguson for the police officer who shot Brown, Darren Wilson, to be indicted for murder. A grand jury is now weighing evidence in the case, and a federal investigation is also underway. Eric Davis, Michael Brown's cousin, urged those attending the funeral to vote in local elections and push for change, declaring that the community has had enough of senseless killings. While Ferguson's population is 2/3 African American, the mayor and 5 of the 6 members of the city council are white. The town's 53-member police department notably employs only 3 African American officers. New evidence in the case emerged on August 25th, when an audio recording was produced by a man who lives in an apartment building near the site of the shooting. The audio recorded in a video chat reportedly captures the sound of as many as 11 gunshots being fired in the August 9th incident. An independent autopsy found that Brown was shot 6 times, twice in the head. Your reporter spoke with Vernelia Randall, emeritus professor of law at the University of Dayton, Ohio, who discusses the divisive issues laid bare in the police shooting death of Michael Brown, and the possibility that this latest incident and a pattern of police abuse in minority communities could inspire a new civil rights movement.
What has happened since the 80s is a rolling back on racial progress. And it's been a consistent rolling back and development of a new system of oppression. And I think that the anger that is seen is not just because of police brutality, but because of the recognition that it's all part of a complete system that the people in Ferguson and across the United States have been suffering from. Here in Dayton, if you're talking about police, we had a shooting of an unarmed man here just a few days before Michael Brown was shot and killed. So I think the experience of racism and segregation and discrimination that this murder of this young man has kind of like the tipping point for a lot of people in the country.
Is what we've seen with the public response to the police shooting of Michael Brown capable of sparking a sustainable national movement to seriously ignite a national debate on the best ways to address police abuse issues? As many have, I think, aptly named this thing, they've been saying that we need a movement and not just another moment.
I think that's exactly right. What we need is not a debate on what needs to be done. We know what needs to be done. The issue is whether we have the will to do it, and whether the people who lead us have the will to do it. And if there's going to be a movement, the movement should be on forcing people who are in the authority to take a step towards doing something, not engaging in discussion on what needs to be done.
Professor Randall, could you briefly describe what are the essential things you believe this nation needs to do in terms of policy change or action within these individual police departments?
First of all, I think there's an overall policy change that needs. We need to stop defining discrimination as just intent, because that means we leave out negligent discrimination. And I talk criminal law and tort law and discrimination law. And in criminal law and tort law, people can be held responsible for things they didn't intend. Discrimination law is the only area of personal injury where we say, oh, the person had to intend it, and if they didn't intend it, they can't be held responsible. I think a lot of the problems we have in this country as African Americans and discrimination is because we no longer have a law that really addresses that. And specifically on police, no one is collecting data. No one is held accountable. So both at the state level and the federal level, one thing that could be done is to tie money to instances of police brutality so that departments and cities will begin to pay more attention to it.
Professor Randall, we have seen a lot of young people become involved in bringing attention to police abuse, both in the tragic shooting of Michael Brown and the cases that came before it, Eric Garner and Trayvon Martin. I wonder if we're seeing develop here a new civil rights movement made up of young people to make it their own. What do you think?
I hope so. And I hope they call it something other than civil rights, because it needs to be much bigger than civil rights. It's about human rights. And when I look at John Crawford here in Beaver Creek, Ohio, right, a suburb outside of Dayton, was a 22-year-old man who went into Walmart's and picked up a toy gun, and some white woman got scared, said he looked dangerous. And the police got involved, and before they could figure out that it was a toy gun that he was holding, they had killed him. The protest that is being lodged in this community is being led by young people. It's being led by people in their 20s and their 30s. And I hope it does spark something continuous, and that it will focus on the bigger human rights beyond police brutality. The right to food, to education, to housing, to a decent education, to a living wage, to be free of racism, sexism, and homophobia. I hope the people are engaged in that kind of movement.
That was Vernelia Randall, Emeritus Professor of Law at the University of Dayton, Ohio. Find links to more news and commentary on the Michael Brown shooting and police abuse by visiting our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.